Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, this is episode number 48 of RC Hangar Time. This week we've got Dustin and Wade back with us, so let's start us off, somebody, and tell us what you've been up to the last couple weeks.
Well, I haven't been on the show, but basically I had to take some time off. My wife started working, so I was taking care of the child while we were waiting for school to start, so it's been a busy week and a half. I bought some new multi-rotor batteries. So I'm trying out the new Multistar multi-rotor batteries from Hobby King, the Turnigy Multistars.
Oh, really? You got those?
Yeah. I've heard some good things about them. I've already done a test flight on them, and they're pretty low C rating. They're only 10C.
Wow, that is low.
But I've noticed on like the 5200, I get about 4 or 5 more minutes of flight time out of it. And that was even in the wind.
Are you carrying anything with this thing?
Yeah, it's full load. It's got all my FPV gear and then all my gimbal, my heavy giant gimbal, and my GoPro.
Nice. So you're not noticing any power loss or nothing?
No, not really. Actually, the punch out and everything seems close to the same. I don't really notice anything, you know. I think most of it's just in my mind. I'm expecting it because everybody's so hopped up on this C rating.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, so far I'm impressed. So I bought a 5200 milliamp 4S for $35.
That's actually a pretty good price.
Wow. And then I bought 2 4000s so I can run them in parallel.
What cell count are these?
These are 4 cells. But I got like 3 batteries for $110 shipped from Hobby King, and they showed up in 2 days.
How many flights you got on them?
Got about 4 on each.
Any puffing yet?
Oh God, no! They're still tight as the day I got them.
Nice.
Yeah, but see, multi-rotor guys, we don't pound on batteries like you heli guys do.
True.
No, not unless you're flying sport and stuff like that. But for the whole purpose of my hexacopter right now is, you know, smooth, steady shots. So, I mean, right. I don't need something. When I do want to do a little bit of crazy flying, I just hook up the Venom RC. I got the 35C 5000 hard pack.
And Wade, on those batteries, do you have a battery meter or a beeper that lets you know when you get to 80%?
I basically have the NASA set up, so gotcha. The light goes, yeah.
So same thing as me, is I never let my battery packs get below 80%. So
I think it might be even a little bit less than that, because I've actually flown it until it auto landed. And once it starts blinking, I have like another 6 minutes of flight time.
Yeah.
You know, me too, but you know, that's what the timer on your transmitter is for, right?
Yeah.
I do both. I actually have both. I have the timer on my DX9. With the English lady telling me time expired, and then it's vibrating in my hand and it's beeping and it's doing all sorts of crap. And then it literally, that timer goes off almost every single flight, the exact same time the light starts flashing red on my NASA.
And I do the same thing. I run a timer too, but like when you're flying in heavy winds, or, you know, sometimes your packs don't last as long, or if you fly at different altitudes, like if I go up to the mountains or something and I fly, I get a lot less flight time. So having my NASA or my battery indicators tell me when I'm low, you know, that I know to come land. I mean, the timer is great, but it's not always 100% reliable.
Yeah. And that's why I'm getting an OSD too. So I can have 3 different ways to tell my battery voltage.
Yeah. I guess it's okay on, you know, multi-rotors and stuff, but I've never seen anybody have one in a heli. So, and I've never used one in a heli either, or an airplane. You know, I just, always gone to 30% and, you know, change my timer to match to get down to 30%. And if I fly harder and it gets down to, you know, 25%, then I'm still okay.
Well, see, that works. It, you know, that'll work. But, you know, a lot of the scale flyers actually will use the I want to say they're like either Great Plains or the Dubro style, but there's all there is like a little battery fuel gauge, just like an LED fuel gauge.
Yeah,
for your battery. I've seen those work really well on your slow flying scale airplanes because you can fly by yourself and see how much battery you got left.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that when you're flying hard 3D though.
Yeah.
Well, just check your batteries after you crash your helis, Mike. I mean,
well, that's what I do.
You know, pretty close.
When I'm at 20%, I just pile it in.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, dude? You fly nitro. You don't use battery packs.
Quarter tank. Yeah. Cool. Sounds good.
On my hex, I have the NASA with the battery indicator on it. I have telemetry going back to my radio, and I still have, you know, one of the battery beepers on the pack. Always, I have three ways to know.
It's pretty sweet. I think I'm going to get a T-Rex 150. That's how I'm going to learn.
Do it.
I've got one.
Never 150.
Yeah, never even flown it. I want it at the Heli Fun Fly.
Sure, I'll buy it from you.
I got a 250 too. I've never flown either.
I would like that as well.
I need to get it set up. I got the satellite receiver. I need to set it up.
Yeah, you need to get on that. So what have you been up to, Dustin?
Oh, I went on vacation last week, so I didn't really do a whole lot of stuff in my shop, but I took my quads with me. I took my V-tail and I took my little Framewell 450. And I did a little bit of flying. The weather was just hit and miss, and I was up in the mountains, and so the wind was blowing and not blowing, and just trying to fit everything in. I put in a couple of flights, burned through a couple of packs, but nothing too exciting. I captured a little bit of video with the GoPro, just kind of flying around, you know, low, not too high, too far away, because the winds just kept changing crazy, so I didn't put in as much flying last week as I wanted to, but I was on vacation too, so I kind of just played everything by ear.
So you didn't take that Bloody Wonder with you and start building it?
No, I didn't. If I take the Bloody Wonder, then that means I got to take all of my part or my tools, my hot glue gun, everything. So no, I didn't take it.
Hot glue guns.
I didn't really have any room in the car either, so...
Better get on it. Only a week away.
Yeah, I can build that in like 20 minutes.
Okay, you can build mine then too, because I haven't even started on mine either. I don't know what it is, but I just can't get any motivation to build an airplane. It's not, I don't know. It's hard, you know. I'd rather build a heli, sit there and wrench on a heli, than glue shit together.
You know, the bad thing about going on vacation is when you come back, you come into a pile of crap, you know, waiting for you. You know, obviously nobody works when I'm gone, so they did schedule an upgrade on the 7th, so I'm hoping that I'm able to still go to the Fun Fly on the 6th.
Yeah, I hope so.
I need to get back into that. It's so boring just sitting here.
We should start doing no flies. Get it up on the website and do some no fly decals or something for every time we don't fly.
Right. I know, I'm up there too, because the weather, ever since I crashed my helis, the weather's been horrible. I haven't even started working on my helis to get them back going yet, and it seems like it's been raining almost every day last week, and I'm still trying to paint the Bixler. I've got a few pieces left to paint on it, the tail fin and, you know, the elevator and stuff.
That's a vertical stabilizer.
Yeah, I'm thinking helis. But
you heli guys same thing. Don't really have much knowledge.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, I was going to ask you about that, if you ever got it done, because you seemed like you were kind of gung-ho at first, but...
That's how it goes with building airplanes, you know? You start on it, and then it just gets old. But that's why I need somebody to build it for me.
Send it my way.
Okay.
Have you done anything with your helis at all? Did you order parts or anything? Or
no, not yet. Just haven't decided to what I'm going to do with that yet. I'll definitely get the 550 going. That's easy. I just need to go get some blades for it and a new main gear. 700. I've got a bunch of parts for, but I don't know what exactly I'm going to do with that yet. Rebuild it. I'm thinking maybe going electric 700, just taking the electronics out of it. But I don't know. I don't know. I like the Nitro, so I'll probably end up rebuilding it. Just kind of taking my time with it, you know. Trying to get some airplanes built. I got to get that Bloody Wonder built, too, because that Fun Flight's coming up. And we're going to do the streamer cut, and I'd like to go down and to Crash Test Hobbies and get a couple of wings, too, and have some do some combat with those as well. So
yeah, that sounds cool. I'm about to buy me a new airplane.
Do it.
I got to buy me a Chimera.
Oh, yeah?
Flying Wing.
Who makes that? Ready Wing? Or Right Wing?
I know it's actually made by, I can't even think of it right now. Usually you see it with IB Crazy selling all that stuff. Mm. Get FPV.
Oh, Stone Blue Airplane. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I saw a really cool video of Stone Blue. They flew a Chimera into a really nice heli.
Yeah, 700, huh?
Yeah,
just on the flight line,
put it in too, and they ended up paying him for the whole heli basically, and then some. And they were all like laughing and joking. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about last show, Mike, with Rachel, about that wing hitting that 700, and everybody just emptied their wallets to that guy.
Yeah, flight test, Fun Fly.
Yeah,
man. Nice. See, I want to get with a couple of people like that. You know, I want to fly with people like that. Just because they're all about fun, you know what I mean? They don't even care about money.
Yeah. Well, geez, dude, when their airframes are like $3 worth of foam, you know, you can pound it in and not care.
Exactly.
It's just time.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we move on to some news?
Yeah, sure.
Since TJ's not here, I don't know about you guys, but I do have one piece of news that I'd like to mention. You guys probably seen my post in the group about the new Goblin 380 that they released at the China exhibit.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I like the smaller Goblins.
Yeah, that thing is, they've took a lot of elements from the Goblin Speed and put into the Goblin 380. They've got the landing skid, the canopy. This thing looks really cool. If you haven't seen it, you should go check it out. It's really awesome. I'm excited for this little heli to come out. And it's not your typical 450 size heli. It's fairly bigger. I mean, they've got a picture next to the 500, the Goblin 500, and it's not much smaller than the Goblin 500, which is awesome. So I'm super excited for this one. But that's what I got. You guys got any news?
I don't really have anything super cool. When I was gone last week, I didn't have very good internet, so I kind of stayed away. But I noticed that APC came out with a whole new multi-rotor-based prop. Have you seen those yet, Wade? Did we lose Wade? They came out with a new line of props for multi-rotors, so I got to get me some of those. I went up to Vortex to see if they had any, and they didn't have any at the local shop, so I'm going to have to get some online and see if they're any better.
Nice. Got those 200QX 3D blades in, props in yet?
You know, I didn't ask him, but I would guess not, because when I was out there the week before I went on vacation, he said that they were back-ordered already, so I don't know if they were just back-ordered on the site because they haven't released them yet or not, but yeah, I don't know.
Cool. You got any news, Wade?
No, I don't have any news as of yet. Actually, I'm trying to think. If you guys looked on Horizon Hobbies website, they got a really bunch of cool new releases that are coming out.
Cool. We'll have to check that out.
I'm a big fan of Horizon Hobby.
Yeah, you are.
Except for their 200QXs. I won't buy any multi-rotors from them anymore.
No, you're not going to get the 3D 200QX?
No, I mean, it's not like they're bad. I'll never say that they're bad, but it's just, I don't know. It's too much money to pay for what you get, in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at the 200, but I saw a friend posted on Facebook the other day. He crashed his 200 and it broke just the motor right off of the frame. I mean, it, you know, so he's looking at a whole shell replacement again. And yeah, that to me just seems like a ton of work. I don't know if it's really worth the effort or not. Now, if I'm going to fly that thing 3D, man, if I pound that thing into the ground, am I going to keep breaking the arms off, keep breaking the motors off, crack the shells?
Right.
How much time and money is that going to take to replace all that stuff?
Sure, I mean, it's going to be a lot of crashing when you're learning with the 200QX for 3D.
Yeah. I mean, it's just $230 for a 200 size. You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't like them. It's not that they're bad. I think you can get so much more with the same amount of money if you just build and learn yourself. And I think you just get so much more out of it.
Well, right. I think you just moved on past that price point. It's like the Phantom. I would never buy a Phantom. I see no value in buying a Phantom for me. But the convenient thing is that somebody who wants to get into it can go down to the RC shop and pick something up and, you know, be pretty successful right out the door.
Yeah, and I will give it that, you know. And believe it or not, when people ask me, you know, if I want to learn how to fly a multirotor, you know, what should I get? And I tell them straight up, you know, if you have the $420, buy the freaking 350QX because it teaches you how to fly, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it's not really good for anything else after that.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to our main topic?
You're listening to RC Hangar Time. Please help support our show by going to rchangartime.com and clicking the donation tab. Your donations help keep the show running each week. And be sure to share this episode on Facebook or your favorite forum. Thank you for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, we're going to talk about float flying. We got a guest with us. His name is James Messick. We'll go ahead and add him in and we'll talk about some float flying.
Float flying. Float flying.
James, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, James, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. It's great. Good to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Well, I'm very privileged.
No problem. So like we said earlier, we're going to talk about some float flying, and we know that you're interested in float flying and been doing a lot of that this summer, and you know, we'll talk about what got you into it and what got you started into flying, you know, doing float flying.
Okay, well, I'm still sort of a relative newbie. I call myself a newbie emeritus because I actually first got into RC over 20 years ago, and had the Boston kit where you build it up and had a 40 size nitro engine. And then I just, you know, life happens. And so I got out of it for a long time. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, I got the famous Hobby Zones Super Cub ready to fly. And I played around with that and because I had moved and I had a big backyard and I thought, well, this is large enough to fly in. And after pulling it out of the trees about three times, I figured this is not big enough to fly in. And so I put it away. And then a year or so ago, I got it back out and started flying. And the next thing I knew, I had a Radian sailplane and the Bixler. And, you know, one thing led to another. So I'm now a member of three different clubs and running websites for three different clubs. And and then I'm getting into float flying and quads as well.
Awesome.
Well, you know what you should do next?
What's that?
Quad float flying.
There you go.
I've already done it. I've successfully landed a 700 millimeter hexacopter on the water.
Where's this video?
All right, I'll upload it right now.
Okay.
That's cool. I actually went down to a float fly near Charlotte, North Carolina a few months ago, and someone had a regular helicopter. I don't know if it was a 450 size. It looked like pool noodles on it. he was a lot braver than I was, but he landed it on the water and took off. So
That's what I did. I used pool noodles, and the reason is because we were actually shooting a video over a lake for a buddy of mine. We were doing a commercial for him because he owns his own company as far as like lures and stuff for bass fishing, and we did some aerial photography and videography for him over a lake, and it was really windy, which brings us back to what Dustin and I were talking about. Windy days really eat your battery, and mine actually did the auto land right in the middle of the lake. It was nerve-wracking.
I'll bet. How'd you get it? Did you go swim out there and get it?
No, we just had the boat. I mean, we had a $80,000 bass boat out there.
Oh.
Did you put the pool noodles just on the landing gear?
Yeah, yeah. Rest it was pretty cool.
My float flying, I've only done float flying with my Super Cub. I bought the floats that go on it. And the first time I flew, I had two flights, and they were perfect, and perfect landings. And then I was taxiing in because I'd landed pretty far out, and I was coming in. The wind blew it upside down. And so I'd taken a fishing rod that I thought I could cast and get it in. I just couldn't quite reach it. And the wind was blowing it to the far side of the lake. So I had to go all the way around this lake. And eventually I was able to hook it and pull it in close enough that I got it back. And a little glue, and it's as good as new.
Nice. So is that the only incident you've had while float flying?
The only one where I lost it and had to retrieve it.
Yeah, because that can be kind of tricky when you're coming in for a landing with floats on, and you know, if the water gets a little choppy or whatever, it can be a little nerve-wracking, huh?
Yeah, I like to do it when the wind is pretty low, but the most of the float kits now have a rudder on the float, but the floats that come for the Super Cub don't have that, so I've learned to land as close to the bank as I could. But a couple times I landed coming straight towards the bank, and it was too close and hit the bank a little hard, so I had to repair the landing gear after that. So
nice.
Learned. So
what got you interested in wanting to float fly?
I don't know. It's something that I haven't really seen a lot around here, but I'd seen videos of it, and I always thought it was really cool, and thought I'd give it a shot, and I really just find it to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a different style of flying for sure. I've done it a few times myself, and it can be a lot of fun. I know a lot of people that have done float flying as well, and you know, a lot of people just do lots of touch and goes and come in for a landing and take off because you know, there's just something about landing a plane in water that's, you know, can be exciting or whatever to try or to do and keep doing, or doing touch and goes and that kind of stuff.
And usually when I fly, it's actually at a lake that's at a business park, and there's a greenway nearby, so it's a lot of just recreational walking back and forth. And so, you know, I'm not flying around the normal RC crowd, so people see it and they think, oh, that's just the neatest thing I've ever seen, and really makes me feel like I'm a professional, even though getting my feet wet, so to speak.
Right.
You know, after FlyZone released that Beaver that came with a set of floats last year, I don't know if you guys know the plane I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
But there was a lot.
Yeah, beautiful.
There was a lot of YouTube videos of guys, you know, taking those out and flying, and not everybody's always successful. So it's good you've had some luck.
Definitely does get tricky, huh?
I actually have the Beaver. I just haven't flown it with the floats yet.
Oh, nice.
When are you going to put floats on it?
Well, one of the clubs I'm in is going to have a members-only float fly in September. So my plan was to get it on by then. But yesterday I was flying it, and it turns out I have a broken wing spar. So the thing about the Beaver, the wing spar is already pre-glued into the wing. So I'm going to have to figure out how to repair that without having to buy a whole new wing set.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So
why would they do that?
I don't know. They do a couple of weird things. That's one thing about the Beaver. It's very hard to take the wings off, so you really need a truck to transport it with, or a trailer.
What's the wingspan on that Beaver?
It's like 59 and a half inches, maybe.
Oh, that's bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's nice, but it really looks good in the air, and it has it's pre-wired with the flying lights on it. So when you're flying around dusk, it looks very realistic.
Cool. Oh, yeah, you can't beat that.
is the wing spar like a solid fiber or like fiberglass blade, or is it a tube or
carbon fiber tube? I think like the I think one of the wings actually has two spars that feed into the fuselage, and the other one has maybe a slightly larger one that goes right in the middle between the other two. And it's pre-wired with the flaps. It's an odd setup, but once you put, it's kind of difficult to put together and run all the wires down to the receiver. So once you put it together, it's just a lot easier to leave it together.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I first got my Bixler, I wanted to stiffen up the wing spar a little bit. So I just went over to the hobby shop and bought a smaller diameter carbon, a solid carbon shaft. And I just resined it up with some epoxy and shoved it in there and let it dry and then cut it off. You might be able to just repair what's cracked if you were able to get another spar inside of it.
It's a good idea. I actually have a Bixler too. And did that improve the flying performance of it?
I set mine up on a 4-cell and put a big 1300 KV motor on it and a big 10-inch prop. So every time I would pull some high alpha moves or something, I always felt like the wings were going to fold in half. And so that's why I went and put a solid spar inside the spar. But I went to the hobby shop, bought something that fit inside there, and then just glued it in, called it good.
Yeah, it helps. I did that on my FMS powered glider, the Fox glider that I won from Motion RC. I did that with the spar. I put a smaller spar in the middle of it, and it helped tremendously.
Yeah, I would say the Bixler flies a lot better. I think it glides a lot better, too, with a little bit stiffer wing. So you just point it into the wind, and you can cut your motor, and it'll just, you know, your wing tips don't flail at all. You know, they kind of just stay nice and stiff and puts a little rigidity into that wing.
Well, I hope I can fix the spar on the Beaver. What kind of glue do you use on carbon fiber?
I just use some of that Loctite 5-minute epoxy. And I mixed up a good healthy batch, and then I put I took a foam sponge and just kind of painted it on the whole spar. And then as I pushed it in, obviously, you know, not all the epoxy can fit, so it just starts kind of bubbling out the end. And I just twist as I put it in and then kind of wipe away the excess and got it to where I wanted. And then I just gave it a couple of good spins until it starts hardening up. And then I stop, and I mean, it's rock solid. It doesn't even budge. It feels like just a normal piece of carbon fiber spar, solid spar.
Sounds good. I was on Crashcast, one of their shows. They said after you do that, you can wrap it with thread and then drizzle some thin CA on the outside, and that'll strengthen it even more. But if for something like a wing tube, you have to make sure it's still small enough to slide in.
Yeah. Well, that'd be exciting if you can get that on the water. And I've seen a ton of videos, and they look way cool. I don't know, water and planes and me, just I get so nervous when I'm over top of water. I don't know why.
I've flown
the Super Cub.
Are you guys up on you?
Mike and I are, but Wade's in Texas, and TJ's in Indiana.
Oh, where's TJ tonight?
He's dealing with knee surgery, so he's probably took a bunch of drugs and passed out. Yeah, he couldn't make it tonight. We don't know where he is exactly.
He seems to be good in the morning, and then as the afternoon, he becomes less responsive, and then when it's time to do the podcast, he's totally out. So,
yeah, hopefully he'll be back in full capacity soon once he's all healed up from his surgery.
Yeah, he adds a lot of color to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, TJ is awesome. So, back to your float fly that you got coming up. What kind of events are you guys going to be doing at your club?
Well, I think we have an electric fly-in coming up in September, and followed by the float fly, and that I think that's going to be it for the year.
What kind of things will you be doing?
I really don't know. It's the first one we had, and I'm not involved with planning it, but I've been out to the site where it's going to be. It's actually in a private community that's built around this lake, but they have like a swimming area with some floating docks out in the water that they're going to be able to use for flights. I don't know if there'll be any kind of contest other than they usually have. Do you know what a 50-50 is?
No.
It's very popular around here at fly-ins. They have a 50-50, and you just tickets, and they give 50% of the money will go to the club, and 50% will be given out in a drawing.
So, oh, cool.
And they have you know, prize raffles. Sometimes they'll have a pipes raffle just for anyone who registers and flies, or you can have. They also have just drawings where anybody can buy tickets just to raise money for the club or whatever they're doing the event for. And I hope they can come up with some other things to the contest more interesting.
Yeah.
But just seeing a bunch of flying planes there will be a lot of fun.
So you said the fly stations will be out on floating docks in the water?
I believe so.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that
they don't float, but they're like piers, so you can walk out into the water.
Oh, okay.
Fly from the bank. So
hopefully they bring like a canoe with a funny paddle, and they have the paddle of shame or something. So when you put it in.
I'm sure they are going to have a rescue boat there.
Nice. Yeah, you'll definitely need one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I wish there was some place around here that would do that had. I don't think there's any fly fields in Utah that have water capabilities, do they, Mike?
Well, the Lehigh has the Jordan River running through it. I don't think they do much with the water over there though, because it's so far away from the flight stations.
It's kind of covered in trees too.
Yeah, people crash their planes into the river, if that counts.
I mean, only there's probably floats.
10 planes in there, but yeah, other than that, I don't know of any other field, actual flying field in Utah that has water nearby or a pond or anything really.
Yeah.
I know over at Decker Lake they do boat races. RC boat races.
Huh.
On Sundays, but no flying.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't take anything there you're gonna put in the air, because they don't like that.
No,
that would be the ideal location though to
do
a fun fly where you could land in the water.
Yeah, but the problem is the freeway is like right there.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I wish they would have some float flies up here. I've done a few events in Texas when I was living in Texas, you know, an indoor one where they had a pool and they had contests of who could, you know, do a touch and go or land in it and take off in it. And it was really interesting what people came up with and built for just for this fun fly, because it was pretty tricky to land it and take off inside this little pool, you know, in a gymnasium.
Wow.
Well, did you see the release video of the Carbon Z Cub when they were flying it in the indoor flight fest, the E-Fest?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Carbon Z Cub?
Yeah, the big one.
Must have been a big venue.
It was pretty big, but I mean, the thing is it flies so good. I mean, it is one of the best flying airplanes I've ever owned.
Do they have a
video of them with the flaps on, doing the shortest takeoffs and landings?
Oh yeah, I can take mine off backwards if I got a good enough.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I
want to
see this. Do it.
I'm going to.
Put it on video.
Do they make a float kit for that Carbon Z Cub?
They do. It's $89, and it comes with a servo and a rudder and everything on it. It's freaking so sweet.
Because that actually might be. I mean, that plane's just big enough and has enough weight. I think it might do pretty good on a set of floats.
It does. It does really well from what I've seen. The only problem is I can't buy them because the only water we have around here happens to be right underneath of a lake. I mean, right underneath of an airport.
Oh.
Like, boo.
Yeah, I was going to say, water's usually in a lake, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm a freaking idiot.
Because it kind of seems like some of the floats on them are, they're so light that they, you know, they don't do good on the water. They're up high. And there's not enough, you know, weight on the float, so they tip one wing or tip the other wing, or like they nose in when you come in on the pond.
Or skip. The biggest problem with nose ends is when you skip. They're so light, they hit it and they bounce off. And then you get like the bouncing repetitive motion until you finally just nose in. I've done that with the Super Cub like 100 times. So did you guys get my link? You said to post it up. So there's the link of me flying the hexacopter off the water in the lake.
Yeah, I see it. Those are some nice red pool noodles.
Is this on Facebook?
I just shared it on Facebook. Yeah. And then I also put it down in the comment section here. I'll share it on the group.
Yeah, you'll have to post in the group so that people can see it, what we're talking about. That's awesome.
Make sure we get it in the show notes, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's got to be... I haven't done a quadcopter or a heli or anything, just airplanes in water. That's got to be a little bit... what's the word? Stressful? Putting a couple dollar helicopter, hexacopter in the water?
Yeah. We tested it first. I didn't just strap on some pool noodles and like throw it out into the lake. I mean,
are you sure? Because that's normally what you do, right? What would Wade do?
Now, the biggest problem was trying to figure out a pool noodle configuration that would. It kept wanting to tip one way or another, and we had to get it really balanced so you can see the final product.
I don't know. I'm always afraid. Two or three weeks ago, I took my quad up and I flew at one of the local reservoirs. My kids were out on the paddle boards. I was kind of just flying around them and just making circles, going out further than they were and kind of coming back. And seriously, my heart was just pounding by the time I'd bring it back to shore. And I wasn't out long enough. I didn't even get really that good of footage because I was seriously just having a mini heart attack just with my quad out over the water like that.
Yeah, I've got a little like Traxxas Alias, just a small quad, and it flies great, but I just can't bring myself to fly it over the water. If that goes in, it's going down to the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be the next contest, getting video over water. Who has the guts to go over water with a multi-rotor or even a heli? I'll even throw that out there.
I got video of me dunking. I was dipping the skids in the freaking water without pool noodles.
Nice.
I don't care. It's just freaking not. You can always try to fish it out later.
John's a certified scuba diver, ain't he?
Yeah, well, John can't even keep hold of his... Yeah, he can't even keep hold of his own rockets. He lost a rocket in a tree the other day.
Nice.
How about this? What is your favorite float plane or float item you've ever flown? What about you, Mike?
Me?
Yeah.
Probably just a scratch built Cub with floats on it. That's probably the only thing I've actually had in the water. So yeah. It's just a scratch built plane that we built for those fun flies in Texas.
Scratch built's the way to go, man. You don't burn a lot of money, you have a lot of fun, and if you do decide to
And if you're going to put it in water, who cares? You got maybe $20 invested into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would definitely like to try something else and, maybe like a hexacopter or, a quadcopter or whatever with some floats on it. That looks a lot of fun. Your video looks awesome. I'd really like to try that out. You've inspired me, Wade.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's what I do.
Sweet.
There's a plane called the Tidewater. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
It's designed as like a flying boat, and it has even floats that hang down from the ends of the wings, and looks like it handles very well. I've seen several people who had those, and there are a lot of videos of them on YouTube, too.
It's from Great Plains?
I'm not sure. Let me see.
It's called the Tidewater?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've never heard of it either. I'll have to look it up and get it in the show notes, though.
Yeah, I'm not up to date with the plane lingo.
It's fly zone.
It's fly zone. 169.98 or something like that.
At Motion RC.
Exactly.
I have actually seen that. There's his name's Peter. He's the foam and tape guy. He did some FPV with that plane and landed on the water. I'm pretty sure that's who it is, but I could be wrong. but I think I've seen him fly that plane.
Yeah, Flight Test, I think, reviewed the Tidewater and one called the Icon, but they liked the Tidewater a lot better.
Well, I have personal experience with the Icon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got one when they first came out, huh?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. They are the worst flying airplanes with the – I mean, I just didn't like it. Every time you let off, like, the throttle and the propeller spun down, it would cause this ridiculous tail wag on this thing. And it was almost – at lower speeds, it was uncontrollable. Now, with that being said, once you landed on water and taken off from water, it was one of the smoothest flying airplanes until you got up in the air and let off the throttle. The landings were easy. That thing was amazing. That was by far my favorite full plane ever, besides it flying like crap.
You know, I have a Park Zone Stinson. I don't even think they make it anymore. But
I love that airplane.
I love it too. It's my favorite plane. I bought a bunch of parts before they kind of quit selling everything in the hobby shop so I could always rebuild it. But I know that they make a float kit for that. And I've thought about buying it for just the purpose of landing on snow. But maybe I'll pursue that and put some floats on that Park Zone Stinson.
Yeah.
It works.
That reminds me. Ogden has a New Year's Fun Fly every year. And they put floats on their planes and take off and land in the snow runway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that might be something to think about, too, or work for, too.
All right. I guess they got to try to find a pair of floats for it.
Yeah, that'll be fun for you.
I've heard of people even flying off grass with floats.
I did. Yeah, we just let it rain and then just flew them on the grass with the little Park Zone or the little Hobby Zone Super Cup.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to try it. All of this talk about flying planes over water, I guess I just need to bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah, do it. Sure. Get it on video. We want to see it. I'll come record for you. I got a camcorder.
I'll record my second flight. It's like when I started flipping my VTEL quad, I didn't film the first one, which I should have. I filmed the second one and I crashed.
Yeah, so maybe we need to, you know, mix this up a little bit and do the first one this time.
Well, you know, people would much rather see the crash video anyway.
Right.
That's true.
I don't know. It makes me sad.
We don't want to make Wade sad. Well, it's been a good show. Thanks for coming on, James.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Hopefully we'll get you back on again sometime.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it was good meeting you, James.
You too.
Cool. All right, have a good one, guys.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.